It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. The National Endowment for the Arts was created in 1965 under the Johnson administration. NEA Chairman Jane Chu has been in office for a little over a year, and during that time she's traveled to more than 30 states, and right now she is in Des Moines. Tonight she'll be participating in a town hall hosted by the Iowa Arts Council and Bravo Greater Des Moines, and she is here with me now. Hello, Chairman Chu.
Well, good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Now, you have spent a lot of time in your first year in office on the road. What is your hope as you travel around? What are you trying to learn?
Well, this first year has been a great opportunity to see how the arts are thriving across the nation. So today in Des Moines, this is my 97th or 98th different community, and it's been a great way to see that the arts are thriving, certainly in Iowa. People ask me sometimes, how do we compare with some other community? And it's amusing to me, that question, because really when you've seen one community, you've really only seen one, because the arts are part of people's everyday lives, but in different ways.
Absolutely. Well, and I know that, of course, when you come to town, every community prepares for your visit and they want to show you certain things. Do you try to get out on your own, too, or do you follow the plan?
Well, our days are pretty packed, but because we've had an opportunity to see the different ways people participate in the arts or engage with the arts, we see a wide range, a gamut of activities, and nothing is exactly alike.
What have you done in Des Moines so far?
Well, so far we have been to the Des Moines Civic Center, and we had a great conversation with the Des Moines Symphony and the Opera and Performing Arts, Des Moines Performing Arts. We've had an opportunity to visit the Des Moines Art Center as well, the wonderful Papa John Sculpture Park in downtown.
Very cool, yes.
Very cool. And so to be able to see all that at the same time has been a real treat. We also visited Art Force Iowa, which gives youth an opportunity, particularly youth who don't have as many opportunities available to them. It's art for them is an equalizer, evens the playing field for them to be able to participate, express themselves in ways they could not articulate before.
Well, I was doing a little bit of research on Art Force Iowa yesterday, and one of the things that I noticed was that not only is it an organization that gives an opportunity for young people to participate in artistic activities, but also possibly help them create job skills. So they might even be able to go into an artistic field. And I'm sure that some people might think, really? Is that the direction we should be encouraging young people to go into? I know a lot of mothers and grandmothers who have told their children, please don't become an artist. It's an unsure future. So what do you think about that? Is that something we should be encouraging young people to think about as a career?
It can. And one of the perceptions that everybody is a starving artist is actually not true. We've done our own analysis about that, too. And we see that arts jobs are not only holding steady, but people are starting to have steady incomes related to that. There are certainly areas, probably like any other industry, that have challenges in terms of keeping a job. But that big paradigm, that big stereotype that everyone who participates in the arts is a starving artist, actually is not the case. And here we have in Art Force, Iowa, the ability for kids not only to feel like they belong, but make a contribution to the economy as well as have a job at the same time. That's a wonderful, productive, responsible citizenship.
Now, I'm going to ask you the question that you just told me that everybody asks you, but you've gotten a little bit of a snapshot of Des Moines and the arts in Iowa. How do you feel like we compare to other places around the country?
Well, Iowa's thriving in terms of the arts, and they can be very proud of the ways arts infuses their lives every day. So you have these wonderful institutions from the Des Moines Arts Center and the performing arts groups that we were able to see yesterday in Des Moines to unique ways that the arts participate, like Art Force Iowa. So there's something for everyone, but that's the beauty of the arts. The arts allow us to participate in different ways without force fitting everybody to follow a template, a cookie cutter approach. And so Iowans even exceed the national average. When we look across the nation, they exceed the national average, especially in some ways, in participating in the arts. For example, they're way above the national average in participating through knitting and needlework and quilting and those needlework type of arts. They are higher than the national average in attending some performing arts performances, in particular jazz concerts. Hmm. So there are some specifics related to Iowa that make them Iowa.
Now, I agree with you. I do a lot of interviews with people who are working in artistic fields and doing some really innovative and interesting things all over the state of Iowa. At the same time, we constantly are struggling with school funding, and we see many school districts across the state, you know, maybe cutting orchestra or cutting back on their arts programs. What is your reaction to that? Because I know that's been happening not just in Iowa, but across the nation.
Well, we're very concerned because we think that that is doing a disservice not only to the arts but to our students, because we don't believe, and we've seen hard evidence, that the arts are not off in a corner. They're not off as a frill. They're not by themselves, but they infuse our lives and they add a dimension to our academic learning for several ways. For example, when you see students who are learning other subjects that are not arts, but, for example, something like science or math, and you have an arts curriculum that is infusing the science lesson, and you see them score higher on their standardized tests in science as a result of the arts curriculum, then you start seeing that this is really worth having arts education in the schools. And we can give you certainly chapter and verse of all kinds of ways that the truancy rates drop, and there are fewer trips to the principal's office. But the bottom line here is that to be able to have arts show students and help them perform better on an academic level, as well as being far more engaged, that's how we're thinking about it. And as a result, one of the things that the National Endowment for the Arts is doing is, now that we're really paying close attention to how this the cuts are happening in arts education, and we are coming out more with collective impact grants, those grants that tie school districts, for example, or schools to community organizations that are providing arts on so many ways. So we think we'll be able to help the whole system that way.
Of course, you can't fund arts programs everywhere all over the country. Do you feel like policymakers are hearing you when we talk about core curriculum and what schools need to be offering our students?
Well, we are going to those bright spots, and there are bright spots across the nation where policymakers are realizing this as well, and they're making those connections with arts education. When you see firsthand, the real key here is when you see firsthand the students and the transformation they have as a result of arts education, no matter whether that is related to arts itself or other subjects, when you see the families of these kids say, there's something here, we can't lose this. When you see school boards step out and say, we didn't realize how important the arts were until we started seeing the performance level of our schools, and the kids, the students coming out and saying, I didn't have nearly as many opportunities or ways to express myself as I did once I started connecting the arts with my other participation in schools. That's the story to tell, because every policymaker, all of us want to have students that thrive.
The National Endowment for the Arts is celebrating its 50th year. When you think about what you know about the history of the NEA and the mission when it was first founded and the mission today, how would you say the mission has changed?
Well, the words that were in the original enacting legislation signed by President Johnson in September 29, 1965, nurture, elevate, and sustain American creativity, that has not changed. We're still all about that. We know that America thrives on those innovative projects and the programs and the ideas that have made America so great. So we still want to further that, and that part hasn't changed at all. We have an opportunity now to make sure that we are all across America, because that's our mission, is to make sure that all Americans have the opportunity to be engaged with and benefit from the arts. So we constantly look, are we awarding grants in areas all across the nation? Are we making sure that projects of all sizes and shapes are being looked at? Where are there fewer applications? Maybe that's a place where we can go out and show people what grant writing workshops are about. So that is the way we think now.
Do you feel that there's still a strong urban-rural divide when it comes to the arts?
It's fewer. There's less of a divide than there's been in the past, and we're very conscious of that as well. We've had a rural initiative. We have grants in all kinds of rural places. And in fact, when you look at the size of the cities and the communities we fund, and if you look at the size of the organizations that are receive National Endowment for the Arts grants, there's only about 15% of all the National Endowment for the Arts grants actually go to large organizations, and there are similar findings related to large cities versus mid-size and small cities. We really are across the nation probably more than it's been in a long time.
As you mark the 50th anniversary, you're also using this opportunity to launch your Creativity Connects project. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're doing?
Sure. The idea is that we so strongly believe that the arts are infusing our lives in so many different ways, and they're not off in a silo by themselves. So similar to what we talked about earlier about arts education and how students, even who are having an arts education curriculum that is connected to, say, science or math lessons, are starting to perform academically better. We see this across the nation in so many other ways, not just arts education. We see businesses and we see other industries that are not categorized as arts who want that same type of creativity, who benefit from the arts way of thinking and that creativity. So the Creativity Connects initiative is an opportunity to connect the arts sector to other non-art sectors that want creativity. It might be a sector like science or technology. It could be food or agriculture. It might be education, and you name it, businesses. The way the arts think can benefit now because we have more what we call mashups going on, creating in a room with other non-arts, arts together with other subjects, thinking together, mashing up their ideas. This is the time to use to have the Creativity Connects initiative that promotes even more connections and more linkages to other non-art sectors, because there is a natural mashup going on between these sectors, and we want to take advantage of that.
Now, you yourself are an artist. You're a pianist. I have looked at your blogs, and you're quite accomplished at drawing and sketching as well. Is finding time to participate in the arts and express yourself artistically something that is important for you to do every day or as on a regular basis? Is this part of your routine?
I love it, and I do make it as much a part of my routine as possible. While I don't play the piano much anymore because I'm flying a lot, that is one of the reasons I do like to sketch. It's a way of recording my own travels, seeing the great things that are going on. I took up sketching traveling because it does give me a lot of time, because when you sit on a plane, it's hard to bring a piano on a plane, but you can certainly bring a sketchbook. So yes, it keeps me fresh. It keeps me engaged in a different way of expressing myself beyond just the use of linear conversations.
When you're too busy to make time for that, what do you feel is missing?
Not tapping into the wholeness of myself. There's a dimension that drawing, which is the sketching, that's the mode I participate in the most right now personally. There's a dimension that's added to it that helps infuse the way I think holistically. I get to see more of the context when I participate in the arts, as well as talk about it and further it and support others engaged in it, that allows me to see a whole system in place and all the ways we are linked together. So it's hard to explain beyond just thinking about how I think as a system, but that does inform the way we are acting at the National Endowment for the Arts, because we are really all connected together, and the more we can infuse and empower this system together and how we're connected, just as this Creativity Connects initiative does, the more I think we'll all be stronger.
You have made it a goal to sketch something from all of the different communities that you visit. So when you're traveling, do you take pictures, or do you just think, oh, I need to remember this?
I don't think I can remember it. So I do take lots of pictures, and many times I'll block that out by looking at the pictures. Sometimes I'll take artistic license and change a few things or move a few pieces around just to place in the sketch. But I try to go in heavy detail, which is attractive to me in terms of a technique. But at the same time, I try to go pretty fast, probably because we travel a lot. But yes, I build it around pictures right now.
And do you know what you'll be drawing from your trip to Des Moines?
Well, one of the things, I don't know yet, and I have taken a few pictures of my own, but one of the things that I am giving myself permission to do in terms of the sketches is it's very intuitive, so I'm not sure I could even articulate why I choose this or that. Something that might be interesting to me on a sketch might not be interesting to anybody else, but I'm going with that intuition.
So you're not going to tell me, are you?
I don't know yet.
Okay. Well, I hope you see many beautiful things.
There certainly are.
Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much.
National Endowment for the Arts Chairman Jane Chu. She is in Des Moines right now. Tonight she'll be participating in a town hall hosted by the Iowa Arts Council and Bravo Greater Des Moines. Talk of Iowa is produced by Emily Woodbury, Dennis Reese, Lindsay Moon, and Claire Roth. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. You can email us anytime, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can follow us on Twitter @IPRTalk. You can follow me on Twitter @CharityNebbie. This is Talk of Iowa.